It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Oh, yeah. Better than this. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't do this shit. What's
better than this, guys? Being dudes here on the Draft Dudes podcast, presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network, and we are your hosts here on this Thursday edition of the show. The full slate of preseason games in the NFL kicks off today, and we can only hope for some thrilling finishes like we got in the Hall of Fame game when Brett Rypien hooked up with Juwan Winfrey for the game winner. Kyle, welcome.
You know we have to talk about this, right?
What we already talked about?
Yes.
Oh, I tried to steer it right to preseason, but I guess we're not over it.
No, we're not over trivia night last night because I was robbed. And the viewers of the show, more importantly than me being robbed, the viewers of the show were robbed of a finish of a very tight, well-contested trivia night that had any integrity whatsoever. Because Charles Woodson is not a safety.
Which I told you in the pre-show, I didn't even write his name down because I thought he was a corner. Because he is a corner. So, yeah, Ben's got to tighten up his questioning, having definitive and correct answers.
With such poor football history as a track record, I think Ben should only be regulated to asking questions that he has the memory of incident happening. So we'll work with like a 4-year strike zone for questions for Ben.
And then you got to love Jonah Toll's questions that nobody can answer.
Hey, I got a point off Jonah's question yesterday. I was real proud of that.
Congratulations. I don't think I did.
Linebackers.
Oh, yeah, I got linebackers as well. And that was actually – didn't take any skill because I pay very close attention to like the average – amount of players that are drafted per position each year. So I have an idea of how many guys I really need to look at. And I knew that linebackers is always in the 30s. And so when he said cornerbacks and wide receivers and what was the other one, I'm like, yeah, it's linebackers. No one else has more than 30 guys a year drafted.
It's a common process of elimination, right? You start crossing some positions off. You know, it doesn't make sense for it to be X or Y.
Right.
And we lucked out there.
So the viewers were robbed of a true champion, Kyle, huh?
Yeah, and I did some research, and the last decade of Charles Woodson's career, he played 6 as a designated defensive back and 4 as a designated safety. And the years that he played designated safety, he was overwhelmingly as a safety those last 4 years. But over the last 10 years of his career, he played 58% of his snaps at cornerback. And then the last 10 years does not include the previous 8 years that he played in Green Bay, which was almost exclusively a quarterback. The 6 years of the 10-year sample size that I was able to pull numbers on, he was playing 86% of his snaps at corner. Now add another 8 years of 86% at corner to 58% over a 10-year sample size. Needless to say, Charles Woodson is a corner, not a safety.
So for the people that are just wondering what in the hell are these guys talking about, each Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern time, we have trivia night with the Draft Network staff on Twitch, and it's really fun. You should come listen to it and watch it and enjoy your Wednesday evenings with us. But with that said, it was very tight. It was very close this week. Everybody was in 2 points. Final question. Jordan had won the previous like 3 weeks. And so the drama was there. And so Ben has the last question. And his question was, name the 4 safeties that have more career interceptions than Ed Reed. And Charles Woodson was a correct answer for some reason.
And he was worth 2 points. Because he was
Hall of Famer. Right. And I, like I said earlier, I didn't even write down Charles Woodson's name because I'm like, he played corner. And it was decisive because Trevor had it down, and that gave him the points he needed to take the dub.
Right. So if Woodson's not included, Trevor gets 2 points. Trevor beat me by 2 points and beat Jordan by 2 points, but Jordan also had Charles Woodson.
Okay. So if Charles Woodson just...
Jordan got 4 points on that question.
Hmm. All right, well, you ready to talk about preseason?
I guess. I'm just pissed off, man. I'm not talking to Ben all week.
Good thing we don't have a call with him in about 30 minutes.
No, we don't.
Did it get canceled?
Yeah, I canceled it just now.
Oh, gosh. All right. Well, all right, Kyle. So preseason, we had one game. The rest kicks off tonight. And I think the most important thing that I can say about the preseason is that you can't forget Nathan Peterman and him completing over 80% of his passes for over 400 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception, a passer rating of 124.7, and winning the Bills starting quarterback gig going into last season. So just keep that in mind when you're reacting to preseason football tonight.
You're telling me nothing matters tonight.
I think it matters some for certain players and positions, but when you're looking at quarterback specifically and you're not going against a team that has game plan to stop you, and it's all about just experimentation and looks and trying things and getting combinations together and testing communication, you got to know where to put your eyes so that you're getting the takeaways that you should have out of preseason games.
So none of this matters, but we're going to spend today's show talking about it. I'm just teasing.
And
that's what I hope we can do here is to talk about some of the context behind some of these games as far as what you should put weight into and what you should be looking for. Specifically, especially in the first week and the last week where there's going to be so little action for the starters, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, week 3 is kind of the dress rehearsal. A lot of times the first string will play close to a full half of football and they'll be scripted the entire way. But week 1 and week 4 especially are... Week 1's kind of just like, all right, let's get the juices flowing. And week 4 is, all right, we need to figure out the bottom half of the roster.
Sean McDermott said the Bills starters are playing about a quarter tonight.
So 2 possessions each, probably.
Yeah, probably so, yeah.
Anything stand out to you looking at the teams?
I mean, obviously Kyler Murray, right? I mean, he plays at 10 o'clock tonight. And I think just the way he commands the offense – getting a feel for, his sight lines, obviously, with his height. What does he have to do to see down the field? Is it awkward? Is it natural? Is it not a problem? How does that speed that he showed at Oklahoma show up in a game, right, in terms of getting outside the pocket or escaping or taking off, that type of stuff? And I want to get a feel for his comfort. I'm not concerned with the results so much, but – I think he's obviously, to me, the big storyline for today's slate.
I disagree respectfully.
Okay.
My number one priority, I won't be able to watch it live because Miami plays at the same time, but I want to see what the Baltimore Ravens do this preseason. I want to know what this offense looks like.
I don't think you're going to know.
Well, then what are they going to do? They're going to run out in I formation and hand the ball off for 4 games?
I don't know, man.
They have to give you something.
Brother, this is good. Week 1, man, it's going to be triple option mixed with spread.
It's going to be great because they're playing the Dolphins, so.
Oh, Jesus.
It's going to be awesome.
That's going to be fun.
But, this coaching staff has met with college spreads. They met with Paul Johnson, correct?
Yep. Yeah.
For triple option concepts, they got so much speed in the backfield. Justice Hill being added there, Lamar Jackson at quarter. Like, they can do so many different things. I want to know what they're going to show now.
That's a big deal. The Dolphins have to be so confused on what to game plan for in week 1.
No, they don't have to be because the Ravens cut Alex Lewis, the offensive guard.
So, oh.
Your interior offensive line's not going to be great anyway. There, it's a no-brainer move, in my opinion, to sign Alex Lewis, and get the full intel on everything that he knows about their install through training camp.
The Jets traded for and acquired Alex Lewis.
When?
He put on his Instagram that they released him, and then like 4 hours later, the trade went through.
Really?
A conditional seventh-round pick. Alex Lewis is a New York Jet.
The goddamn Jets.
So they were – that was – I mean, that was probably a block of more than anything. I mean, the guy's always hurt, right? Like,
yeah.
That's probably a good point. Like, people that Baltimore release offensively, like –
well, you got to scoop them up.
You have to. You got to know what the hell's going on.
Yeah, if you play Baltimore in September, you need to be picking up whoever they cut.
Yeah.
And you should pay him extra just because
– there's going to be terrible offensive linemen that people are coveting just to get intel on what the hell the Ravens are doing.
Fall all over themselves. But that is my general most interesting storyline of week one of the preseason is what does Baltimore show? Do they try and stay vanilla and do the stuff that they did last year, or will they show – at least some of the concepts that they've been installing throughout the course of this offseason.
I'm also interested in the keep pounding Carolina Panthers, right? This team's all about Cam Newton. There's exciting pieces elsewhere, but let's be honest, this team's going as far as Cam Newton's going to take them. And, you know, they're already kind of nursing him along, and he's not going to play tonight. And I know Kyle Allen flashed a little bit at the end of the season. Tyler Heinicke looked okay. They drafted Will Greer. But – will one of these backup quarterbacks show us enough to believe that if Cam Newton goes down or his, you know, his shoulder fails him week 8, 9, 10 like it did last year, is the season over or do they have a viable backup? Because, I mean, honestly, they just rolled with Allen and Heinicke again and drafted Will Greer, and that's it. And so if Cam goes down, can one of those guys be the guy and salvage a season?
Joe.
Sir.
DeKalen plays at 10 p.m. tonight.
Oh, Jesus.
DeKalen Metcalf, who has been getting rave reviews all throughout training camp, all summer long, even though he can't run a speed out as fast as Hollywood Brown can. Rave reviews, body bagging guys, running past Shaq Griffin. It's just... I'm so excited to see what this looks like. And it's at 10 o'clock, too, so it's one of the late games that, Joe, you mentioned Kyler plays at 10. Mm-hmm. Both of our teams are playing at 7:30.
Yeah.
So we should be at least somewhat opened up to being able to watch portions of these games, these late games that have these high-profile rookies in them. And I really am intrigued in if DK can follow up strong training camp against the Broncos defense – come out and make a couple plays tonight.
Did you see my tweet on DK from a couple days ago?
Something along the lines of how routes don't count if you can't.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
or something like that.
Yeah. So Greg Bell puts out this tweet. He says DK Metcalf burning both starting quarterbacks today in his return to scrimmaging after 2 days off from an oblique injury. Sprints past Shaquille Griffin, a 4-3 guy, by the way, on a flag route for another long touchdown pass from Russell Wilson. Griffin slapped his hands together in frustration. I quote tweeted it and said, touchdowns only matter if the route requires a hard horizontal break. Doesn't count. I cannot wait, and I hope. We could be wrong, but I can't wait for all the doubters, the DK doubters, that couldn't see past the fact that he maybe isn't the most dynamic horizontal route runner, but what he can do vertically, his size, his speed, his athleticism, his length, his physicality, and how that's capable of dominating in the NFL, just not the same way that Odell Beckham dominates. Here for it. Ready for it.
Is there a game this week that you just do not give a single shit about?
Oh, man. I see, I'm always like anti that guy, right? Like everyone will be like bitching. Oh, it's the Bengals and the
Chiefs tomorrow at 8 o'clock. I'm sorry. That's the game for me. I'm like, I don't care about this game.
Man, I care about every football game that's played.
Bengals and Chiefs. Tell me an interesting storyline for Bengals and Chiefs.
I mean, there's 90 football players on each team that are interesting to me.
So give me an interesting storyline.
How does the Bengals offensive line line up? Is Carl Lawson ready to go? I want to see Kalen Saunders in Kansas City. I want to see Juan Thornhill in Kansas City. I want to see Mecole Hardman in Kansas City, man. There's stuff I want to see in every single game.
And is the Bengals a test of that that's going to give you anything of value in week one of the preseason?
Absolutely. They've got 90 NFL football players like every other team.
Well, hold on now. Let's not count the 90-man roster as NFL players. Because probably a third of those players on each of the 32 teams will not play a snap in the NFL.
Sure, but I mean, there's going to be some players. And
So then they don't have 90 NFL players?
Right now they do. I'm into it all, man. Andrew Brown plays for the Bengals. I liked him coming out of Virginia. I want to see him play.
That's a good call. Was he hurt last year?
I don't know. I have no idea. Tony Lippett. He's still playing corner. He's on the Bengals 90 right now.
Apparently.
Yeah.
He actually didn't look half bad in his initial 2 years conversion from wide receiver at Michigan State to corner. And then
right.
He hurt
right.
And seemed like it really got his whole career off the rails. Joe, Josh Rosen plays football tonight.
Yes, he does.
I have a theory.
Okay.
The Dolphins deliberately listed – sorry, God. I'm so sorry. I'm so embarrassed by that.
Stupid.
The Dolphins purposely listed Ryan Fitzpatrick as the first-string quarterback so that they could give more snaps in this football game to Josh Rosen.
Oh, I mean, does that designation matter in terms of giving him a certain amount of reps?
If the ones are going to play for two possessions –
So, yeah, and then Josh Rosen probably played second and third quarter, right?
Yes, right. And that's my overall point is it's more valuable for the Dolphins. I would like to see them start working Rosen in with the ones at practice. They have not done that yet, despite the fact that Rosen has had reportedly better practices and a better scrimmage over the course of the last week and a half than Ryan Fitzpatrick. But you'll never hear that in the national media because it's just fun to bag on Josh Rosen. For the game itself, it's more valuable for the Dolphins to have Josh Rosen play more snaps so they get a larger sample size in the preseason of what he looks like than it is to run him out with the ones and have him play two possessions and run the risk of having
yeah.
him run it out and a turnover
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah, that's a good point. And then, I mean, the thing with Josh Rosen is if he's not the week one starter in Miami, it doesn't mean he's not the week 5 through 6, 17 starter, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean – there's a lot of football left. We saw it happen with Baker, and, you know, like, I mean, it's fine. It's fine if he's not the right away starter. Play him when he's ready to go. I did not know Terrell Hanks was on this football team.
Yeah, he's not making the team. He will get beat out by another UDFA linebacker for a spot on the 53.
Trey Watson?
Trey Watson will make this football team.
Oh, boy.
He doesn't like me very much.
Right. Did you remind him that he went undrafted?
I did not. I don't want to be that guy. Listen, I gave Trey a 5, and he was upset with me. He said, I've never heard
generous
before in my life.
Generous with the 5 there, Kyle.
And then I was 2 rounds higher than the NFL. So. You're welcome, Trey.
Could have been more. You don't even know where he ranks on the ODFA spear, you know?
Well, I feel good about his chances to make the roster. He's looking pretty good, so.
What else? I mean, the world champion San Francisco 49ers, they play Saturday night at 9 o'clock. Nick Bosa just can't stay healthy, right? My God.
It's funny how quickly this all-star pass rush group has just fallen apart. D Ford's banged up. DeForest Buckner's got like a calf issue or something like that, lower body issue. Nick Bosa's been diagnosed with a, quote, significant high ankle sprain.
Also breaking Jason Verrett's hurt.
Dude, it's too soon.
But I'm just saying, 49ers haven't stayed healthy in 3 years, and it's already starting this year.
But they're going 12-4 and winning the Super Bowl this year.
13-3.
Was I too low?
I mean, this is a 13-win team based on what Twitter tells me. I mean, they got Mitch Wisnowski, you know, which is a game-changing punter.
It's true. It is.
Yeah. So
that actually, I mean, we're kind of joking right now. Not with Mitch Wisnowski. We're not.
No, dude can punt, brother. Wanted him so bad for the Bills. We traded up for Dawson Knox instead. I wanted Mitch.
I feel like we should talk about two transactions that happened today before we sign off.
Is one of them Robert Mkhimdiche?
It is, but I'd rather talk first about and designate more time to Duke Johnson of the Texans.
Good trick. Well, look, I like the idea of Duke Johnson on the Texans. I think it'll help that football team, especially they released Deonta Foreman. Lamar Miller's their guy. They don't have much depth behind him. He gives them the pass-catching element, which he's been really good for the Browns across four seasons, durable, played in 16 games every year. But Cleveland's going to get a three for him.
Because it's the stipulation is on games played or snaps or
– he's got to be in 10 games, active for 10 games.
Hmm. Lock it in.
Right. On that team?
All right. So if the Texans are willing to part with a three effectively for Duke Johnson, what are you still doing with a first or second round pick when Trent Williams is available?
Yeah.
Like, what are we waiting for? I'm surprised they could make this move without a general manager.
Right.
Would they
well,
have a board of directors meeting and sit around and huddle up?
It's Bill O'Brien, man. They said he made the call. The thing about Trent Williams, he's maintained his stance that he's not playing for Washington, and it's not about money. I'm not all for the one for that. What's that?
So what leverage does Washington have?
None. And they're going to let one of the best left tackles in the game go. What do you do? Just call his bluff and say, hey, we're just going to fine your ass all year?
Either that or you trade him for what you can get. At this point, it's probably a two.
Houston should do that. Right. For a two?
Let's be honest. You guys fucked up all your draft picks anyway in the top 100, so you might as well just spend them on guys that are vets.
I got to look this up. Give me one second.
No, it needs to be right now.
That might have been enough time. Okay, so the deal that I compare this to is the Dwayne Brown deal, right? So Dwayne Brown went from Houston to Seattle. Seattle got Dwayne Brown in a fifth-round pick, and Houston got a two and a three.
Well, that won't happen anymore because Houston just traded their three for Duke Johnson.
They weren't in the same year, though. So it was like a two. Yeah. They staggered the two and the three. Tell me about what's going to be better in the second and third round than Trent Williams.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Right.
Imagine if this team had drafted like Juwan Taylor or Dalton Risner. Imagine if they drafted Juwan Taylor and then traded for Trent Williams.
They'd have a great tandem. We'd be raving about it.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, chances were there, man. I mean, I saw one good clip the other day of Tytus Howard. He tossed Kyler Frackle on the ground. Did you see that play?
Yeah, Frackle tried to spin back inside on him. And
got
he
crushed.
Cinched him and tossed him.
Yeah.
He's playing guard, though, isn't he?
Tytus,
didn't I read he was playing some guard?
I can't confirm nor deny that. I'm pulling it up right now. Our lads has him listed as – where the hell is he?
That's not a good start.
As their fourth left tackle. They got Roderick Johnson listed ahead of him.
All right, here's the deal. Tytus Howard is the front runner to start the season as Houston's starting left guard, as reported by Aaron Wilson of the Houston Chronicle.
Yeah, he's usually pretty reliable.
First round tackle out of Alabama State. Howard would replace Sino Kelemente.
Yeah, you got it.
Kimelete?
It's an L. I don't know.
I should really work on that one. The expected starter at left tackle is Matt Khalil.
You might as well play Tytus Howard. Listen, our lads has Tytus Howard as the fourth left tackle and Max Sharping as the fourth right tackle. Rick Leonard ahead of Max Sharping and Roderick Johnson ahead of Tytus Howard. Rest in peace, Deshaun Watson.
Dude, they're expecting their starters at offensive tackle in this same report to be Matt Khalil and Chantrell Henderson.
Shaky.
With Tytus Howard at guard, either Zach Fulton or Max Sharping at right guard, and then their one good offensive lineman, Nick Martin at center. What are we doing?
Their weapons are weird too, Kyle.
Not anymore. They got Duke Johnson. Didn't somebody say today that Duke was the number two receiving option on that team?
Well, Will Fuller will be hurt by the end of the weekend. Kiki Kuti, I mean, he's a slot, and he got banged up last year. He's about 150 pounds. And a bunch of guys that aren't rosterable at receiver after that. I mean, Nuke, obviously, but.
What's their tight end situation look like? They took like two straight third round picks with the Indiana kid and.
Yeah, they had Jordan Thomas, Jordan Akins, Kyle Waring, and Darren Fells as their top four tight ends.
What a weird group this is, too.
Super weird, dude.
Akins was like straight athlete at Central Florida. I thought they reached on him, and he was an older prospect.
He's older,
he
yep.
26?
Yeah.
As a rookie. he had a baseball background, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Cahill Waring, I like this year. I thought they got good value with him as a top 100 pick. I think he was one of their better value picks overall in this draft class, aside of Charles Menehue. But I don't think Waring's ready to play as a receiver in the NFL, and tight end's a position that is notorious for a long transition to the next level. So you got Akins, an older prospect who's a raw athlete, and then you got Cahill Waring, who is pretty good as a blocker at San Diego State, but nowhere near the route runner required to be able to contribute at a high level early on. Darren Fells, and then Jordan Thomas, who was a sixth-round pick last year.
How about this quarterback situation? Obviously, Deshaun Watson's exciting, but A.J. McCarron's a primary backup. He's out right now with an injury. They signed Jordan Tiamu yesterday. And Joe Webb's their other backup. Like, what is this? What is this quarterback room, Kyle?
A.J. McCarron's the oddball. At least the other three athletic.
Right. Hey, the Bills don't get to the playoffs in 2017 without Joe Webb winning that game against the Colts playing quarterback.
Was that in the snow?
Yeah. Yeah. He threw the touchdown to Calvin Benjamin in the back corner.
Total shit show of a game, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah, Shady. And then Sean McDermott punts with like 2 minutes and 42 seconds left in overtime. Somehow the Bills get the ball back and Shady rips off like a 40-yard run for a touchdown. Behind an amazing block from Richie Incognito. Yeah.
What yard line were they at when they punted?
I don't remember, but it was like, Sean, you don't need to be punting this ball. Like, I don't care if we tie this football game. So.
Yeah, tie does you no good when you're like 7-7, right?
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, I love Sean McDermott. I think he's building a great culture. His defense is, you know, he knows how to coach defense for sure. But he's like 1-10 or 1-11 on challenges, and sometimes the game day management is you know not what you want it to be. But
need a specialist for that, Joe. Put an application in.
I don't know if I'm the guy. I don't know. I don't think that's my forte either. I'm not a math guy, you know, so it gets hard for me.
Oh, yeah, that's a great point. Yeah. I take it all back. There's no way you're qualified for that game.
Right.
We'll save Kandiche for tomorrow.
Oh, the whole show on Kandiche, right?
Stuff. Yeah, we'll do just Friday's going to talk about Robert Kandiche.
We won't. So, come back anyways.
Go.
Huh.
He actually didn't look half bad in the 10 games he played last year.
He's the savior, man. He started on the pup. What's wrong with him? When is he going to be healthy?
Well, he came into training camp last year or this summer out of shape because of his rehab.
Okay.
So he's still rehabbing from the ACL tear that was like early November, I think.
Okay.
So,
all right.
They're buying time with him, trying to let him get in shape a little bit and see where it goes.
Is there any carryovers on the Dolphins staff that knew him at Arizona or something like that? Because, I mean, that's kind of a risky guy to bring in, you know?
No.
Oh, I thought maybe there was a guy.
The Dolphins are the island of misfit toys.
Well, that's what the Colts were last year.
Right. Well, I mean, think about it. You got Josh Rosen, first-round pick, quote-unquote, busted out of Arizona. Robert Kandiche, first-round pick, busted out of Arizona. You've got There's like 12 players on this team that were like first, second, or third round picks over the last 3 years and like didn't make it. Like Nate Orchard was a second round pick for the Cleveland Browns and busted out. Adolphus Washington was a third round pick for the Buffalo Bills and busted out. And now he's on the Dolphins. Eric Rowe is a second round bust for the Philadelphia Eagles. He's now on his third team in the Miami Dolphins, getting a look there.
So it's interesting, right? If they could be a well-coached team, you got talented players that people have kind of counted out.
Right. They've got they're banking on physical talent that has underachieved to this point in the end. Like Mark Walton was a third-round pick, I believe, for the Cincinnati Bengals at running.
Right. Yeah.
And now he's on the team. So it's like there's legitimately double-digit players on the team that the Dolphins have stockpiled that were like highly picked, top 100 picks that busted out with their first teams for whatever reason, and the Dolphins are like, all right, we'll take the talent. Let's see if we can coach it up. So it'll be an interesting thing to monitor for the Dolphins this season as far as development on some of these talented players that for whatever reason have not performed at a high level.
Daniel Jones makes his debut tonight against the New York Jets.
Let's go! Can't wait to not watch that one.
Who does Washington play? Cleveland.
Yeah.
So
Dwayne will play against the AFC champs this year.
Nope.
Well, we're going to do previews next week, so we can argue that then. How's that?
Let's do it.
Let's go. Everybody get fired up. Football tonight feels good. We are back in business. Thanks for listening to Draft Dudes. We'll be back again tomorrow to wrap up the week. Make sure you come back, hit subscribe, and we'll see you then.